In a whole other life, there was this boy that I knew. He made me feel like a woman. We were young and silly fools. Anyway, he was in the band. Wrote love songs about me. I wasn't crazy about the words, but the melodies were sweet. When someone like do 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 every time we go dancing, I.
As parents, we need all the help we could get when it comes to raising these children in this generation. Mm-hmm. We have the author of A Plum's Tale, the one and only Sarah Jen, who's with us and who's going to be breaking down the amazing book that she wrote, the lessons that we're getting out of it, and the tools that we'll be able to use today on the Empower Hour.
I think this is me!
Welcome to the Empower Hour. We bring empower to the people because the people have the power. This squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. I'm Queen Kaya, joined by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens listening.
I am so grateful. I'm grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our creator. I'm grateful to the ancestors for being present with us and for creating this opportunity for us to be able to get on here today. And I just ask that today's show, let it be entertaining for our guests. Let it be uplifting. Let it be insightful. And most importantly, let it be empowering for each and every one of our listeners today. And I'm just sending out that spirit of love. I'm sending out that spirit of light, unity, peace, great health, wealth, and success to everybody listening. Hotep, amen, and ashe.
Ashe, ashe.
Ashe.
I wish I still had my tambourine. So.
Oh.
We never found it?
Oh, I found it.
Oh.
Yeah, but Andrew told me I can't use it. So.
Oh, amen. Amen. Oh, man. Let the congregation say.
Guys. Wow. Anyhow, guys. So let me ask you guys, how was your week? I'm happy to see you guys. Well, not Gina, but she's here. So
you
happy,
know what?
Happy, love,
no, I'm
love,
so glad
joy.
The mic was not working next to him.
No, you see?
There's only so much Pharaoh you can take.
Me too, the universe.
You know what?
So much.
You know what? We're going to have to kick this back off from the beginning again, because this energy is not good morning energy.
This is great morning energy.
People is going to be like, I should have smacked him on before I left. I should have threw the cereal on the children before I left out the door. Everybody is going to have,
this
come
is,
on, y'all.
No, it's that love energy. No, it's because, first of all, Gina and I are like best friends. You see what I mean? Wait, why y'all hurry? Why y'all so hard?
No, but high key, Pharaoh is my big brother.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. At the end of the day, because I have no big brother. I got a lot of brothers. I ain't got a big brother.
And that's what I'm
he's
saying.
He's definitely big brother energy. But you guys don't get it. I've had 37 years of this.
Exactly.
You guys have just had Pharaoh in comparison.
It's not, mm-hmm. I've been like this. It's not. It's,
his
I've
whole really, entire
I've,
life.
I've been like this, guys.
His whole entire life. But since we'll just get back on track here.
Yeah.
I had some amazing time in these last week and a half because I wasn't physically here last episode, but because I had some family coming into town, some of my favorite people in the world,
mm-hmm.
my niece and my nephew. And we had, like, we really were out here in the streets, y'all. Like, we went to the Old Port, we were in Laval, we had birthday parties, we did it all up. We used all the amenities in my condominium.
That's how you gotta do it. Get
you
your dollars
mean?
Worth.
Hello, I pay condo fees. We about to do some activities today. So, we went to SOS Labyrinth
mm-hmm.
In the Old Port, so we nice. Did the maze there. Guys, it was so much fun.
Word.
It was so fun. At first, my niece was not really having it because they did like Halloween theme.
Okay,
and she's just like, I'm going to need a pickup because I don't know what's going on here. Listen, she went from that to like running to see because we stayed in a group. But it was like, okay, you go in that area and see like if it's a dead end.
Right.
So like my nephew would go in and he'd be like, oh, dead end, dead end. And then, you know, like run back. Okay, homegirl's like, dead end, dead end. And the other girl's like, dead end, dead end. And she was in. She was with it.
Like
pushing things, all kinds of things. It was great. Keep in mind, she's about to be four in a couple of weeks.
Amen.
Yeah, so we did it in about 1 hour and 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed their course every week, it said. So, no, I had a blast on that.
Okay.
And, you know, and I'm so glad the universe is just back on where it needs to be. Like, energy is right. Today, right before the show, I had to go grab some birthday gifts for my niece. It's going to be her birthday next weekend. And like, I'm driving and I so happen to be like, oh, let me just park right here and let me go. Mm-hmm. And I was at the Rockland Center, which I never go. So I have no idea how the setup is. Mm-hmm. And I get there and I was just like, oh, the store I needed was right there.
Score.
Everything I needed was right there. Mm-hmm. Like I had time to do everything I needed. I was in and out of the mall in 20 minutes.
Ooh, y'all. I love them ones.
Because I don't like shopping.
Mm-hmm. There's no one else in the mall anyways.
Welcome to the
club.
Well,
no, there was people there.
Oh, yeah?
There was people there, but okay, because...
every time I go to the mall, it's empty.
Because of where I... Because of where I parked in the entrance and the store ended up being right there. And I had no idea. The energy was real.
Yeah.
The energy was real today. Yeah. Which had me coming here right on time because I was like, oh, I'm going to be here a little late. Nope. I was here early. I was like, look at God.
She was here before me. I was like, oh, shoot, you here? All
right. Well, God and his angels and the archangels and everybody in above.
Look at our
father. You know, so it was blessed.
That's a nice color on you, too, I have to say.
Thank you. This mauve?
Yeah, it's mauve. Okay, I thought it was salmon.
No, definitely not salmon.
No, I'm wearing sunglasses, so really.
You are wearing sunglasses. Yep, you're right. You're right.
It's a little dark.
All right. That was how it went for me. Mm-hmm. Kaya, how was your week?
Listen, this week, I'm just trying to figure out how to dress myself in the wishy-washy weather. I'm just out here trying not to catch pneumonia because the weather, I'm going to tell you something, it switched worse than pit bulls. Mm. This is a problem we got going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So I'm ashy. I have all these dry spots on my face. My ankles
you
are
calling
super
it out, we don't
ashy.
See it.
I know.
No, saying. That's because I put a whole lot of oil and stuff on myself on the way here. Okay. And like I had to pat it off when I got out the car because I said they're gonna think I was eating chicken by myself. And that's not cool. But I literally am ashy as hell right now. I don't know what's going on my skin, but the weather got me confused on what to do. Like my elbow has a dry spot that if I rub it like you hear that?
Stop it.
ASMR.
We have a problem right now.
You guys
so
heard that?
This week, I have decided I'm changing my diet. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I start my workout. I bought an elliptical actually like 4 months ago, and I got on it like 3 times. Mm-hmm. I'm about to get on the elliptical for an hour a day. I got to loosen up these limbs and stuff. So right now, I am pretty much starting my get ready for next summer routine.
Nice.
Because my broke up bad.
Okay.
So this week was a week pretty much of me just doing a lot of deliberating. Like everywhere I said I was going to go, I went late because I don't know how to dress. Mm. So everywhere I went, I had to go and I end up taking off clothes when I got there because I was dressed super hot for cold weather.
Right.
And then it starts out cold and then it gets hot in the afternoon. Yeah, so I went through a thing this week with just trying to regulate that and not get sick. Okay. So it was trialing and I almost feel like the winter blues is already setting in.
Mm.
So I'm looking for some extra doses of vitamin C.
Okay.
So I'm going to go find me some capsules and I'm going to find how to get as much vitamin C naturally as possible without like
messing up. But isn't vitamin D that helps with that too?
It is vitamin D. The sun is vitamin D with that too. But if you are looking for vitamin C, red fruits. I know they usually tell you orange, oranges and stuff, but red peppers and strawberries actually have more vitamin C than actual oranges.
Okay. Oh.
But also to help your winter blues, you are already starting to work on track on that because I used to be a big hibernator during the winter, and your summer body should be worked on during the winter because it helps the winter pass. Like my uncle told me one time, he's like, the one way to make winter pass faster is do winter sports. Now I ain't here for the winter sports, but doing your workout because your social life kind of diminishes. Yes. It's too cold to go outside or what have you, and keeping yourself active in your house does help a lot.
Yeah. See. Okay. So I'm right on time and I'm in sync. So the universe is speaking and I'm listening because I can't have this. And I'm itchy. And it's itchy.
That's like, a season change for sure.
So God has made me uncomfortable. So I know it's time for change. How about you, P?
Yo, it is the time for change, my people. First of all, I changed my lineup. I decided I'm going with this new look. I'm going to shave off all my sideburns. Just do this pinch thing. So that's my change. I'm feeling pretty fresh.
It made you look skinnier, though. I ain't gonna hold you. When you came in today, I was like, something's...
Yeah, it is that. Actually, my wife noticed it, too. She's like, I find you look slim. I'm like, I think that's what it is. I don't know. It's just this new look. Just trying different things, guys.
You know what? You look young.
That's
what happened.
Because,
you know, you had a little bit of grays and stuff coming in.
Right.
Then it got rid of it. You look like a young boy. Look, he moving his shoulders. I'm mad.
Yeah, this is my young boy.
Hey!
Look. You guys didn't see it?
He's moving his shoulders.
Let me tell you about shaking my shoulders.
He's doing the shoulders.
My young boy, look.
And if you're watching and you're seeing this shoulder shake, make sure you zoom in on that bleach stain that he has on his sweater.
You know what?
I can't believe Gina did that to me. You see? That's what I mean. You see? That's why you guys understand. This is what
this
I mean
is
to
how
Gina.
Humble,
all
this
the
is
time.
How cousins humble each other.
You see?
This is how they humble
this
each other.
That's what I mean.
And you know.
You see? And you guys knew because I said it in confidence.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, folks. And it's because you don't get to see all the back, all the banter I have to receive before we
first
start pressing
all,
play.
First of all, anyways,
before we
guys,
start pressing record,
this is love. This is anyways, guys. I hope you guys are feeling this love energy that's circling through the studio. I do have to say though, despite the bleach on my shirt that Gina's brought attention to, this is my favorite sweater, so I do enjoy wearing it. I feel pretty awesome. I had an exceptional week. I didn't tell you guys, but my wife and I, we continued our anniversary celebrations Friday.
Congratulations. We are at year
16.
16, a whole teenager.
Trust. No, we went to Buff. Yo, shout out Buff. Colleen. Buff is a nail salon.
Buff.
Salon Buff. We went to Salon Buff on Atwater in Little Burgundy. Big shout out. You guys check her out. She's dope. The atmosphere is ill. Her attitude is awesome. Her team is great. I had my first mani-pedi.
This is your first ever in life?
Yeah. It's not something I do, Gina. Do I seem like the type that's like...
Well, there's a lot of things you seem and don't seem.
Yeah, absolutely right. But no, yeah. So it was my first mani-pedi. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, shoot, my nails are on point.
Did you give extra tip for your feet? Because
I should have. Actually, you're absolutely right. I did give a good tip, but I did feel like she should have got more. Because while it was happening, I was like, you're not going to wear no goggles. You're just gonna be in there. I was like, because I know when I cut my own toenails, I have to be careful, like because they go flying. Like it's like kinks. I was like, oh, watch out. In other rooms, people were like, ow, dad. Like that's what happens for real. So I was like, she was doing the thing and she was cutting, and there was nothing electric. I thought she was gonna have to take out like an electric something to just file those toes down. No, it's not. My feet feel so smooth and nice. So smooth and nice.
It'll change your life.
Yo, it really does. And it's something that, and I had a reason why I was diving into that, because we were talking about just feeling good throughout the winter and different things like that. It is something like, it's just, I want to encourage people, because we don't necessarily associate, like, you know, getting our nails and toes and whatever other stuff done. We don't associate it with like mental health and well-being. Like we just take it more as a luxury. Yep. But no brother is going to say that you do not feel like $1 million after you get a lineup.
Yeah,
right.
And guess what? We the women appreciate when you get your pedicure.
Right.
I'm just like high key. Like,
wow. No, you just said it. I didn't even think of it from that perspective.
Yeah,
but I'm
because
just saying.
When you said it, I said, "Poor she." I'm sitting there the whole time.
Again,
I
she just took it for the team, for the world.
Why? Why? Why you guys?
Shiana,
so
this one's for you.
Yo. Anyways, and you know it's funny though, because Shy does actually help uncream my feet every once in a while. Because it's not something I do. I take a shower, I come out fresh, and she's like, "God damn, yo!"
They be looking like eagle's claws. Yeah, snatching fire, swimming upstream.
Guys, it's not that bad, but it kind of is, and they're dry too. It's like it's a world of a difference, like when you put some cream on your feet, like because beforehand, it's like some kind of crypt keeper foot. It's like some kind of weird.
Oh God, I can see it now, and I can see you kind of like sitting there, like rubbing your toes together,
this. Yeah, and because those who know me know I have long toes, so they're like finger toes. Oh so God. They really and they're dry, and when the nails grow, anyways.
You know what? A tip though. Keep some coconut oil in the shower so that when you're done in the shower you can just put the coconut on you.
Throw some brown sugar in it actually and use it and scrub down your feet.
Oh no, I'm talking about
in the shower. Yeah.
You know, but I'm saying when you're done the shower, instead of having to lotion yourself, you can just put the coconut oil.
Okay, so if you do it in the shower and you use the sugar one actually though, you don't gotta cream yourself afterwards. Ooh. It's already into your skin. Okay. So I take the brown sugar and make a big jar of brown sugar coconut and then I take it and
in the shower?
Right, yes.
And then I'll do nothing when I come out?
I just can't touch my toes right now, so I didn't do it today. So that's why I'm asking.
No, before you come out. Yeah,
thank you.
And you hydrate better when your skin's wet.
You see, guys? So. Yeah, that's I appreciate you guys. And the listeners are appreciating all these good tips, if you guys didn't know. So anyways, these are the things that you guys can do throughout the winter to just boost your spirits, boost your energy. Also, something that came to my mind the other day, too. We have to remember our connection to the planet. And that we are the planet. So don't over, how do I put this? Like, you're going to feel down-ish in the winter, and that is because the whole planet is going into kind of a hibernation
mode. Not the whole planet, but our
side. Yeah, our side. Yeah. The planet and the side that you're more connected to because you're here, right? Yeah, like, yeah. So understand that, because what happens, like, we go through this kind of, you know, quote-unquote depression, or kind of feels like it's down, and then we let everything come into our minds, and we start, like, feeling bad about different things. But just understand, it's okay to feel down-ish because it's just what's happening, but be conscious of it. And know that it's not... there's nothing wrong with you. It's something that's universal. It's planetary. It's like it's happening to everything, and you're connected to the everything. So you're not separate from it. You're a part of it. So the same way you see the trees losing their leaves and everything, and everything seems kind of just know you're a plant too, brothers and sisters. And just know you're going to go through it. You're going to feel it. But we have the power, because we're beings, we're human beings, and we could move, not like trees. You know, we could do things to help us boost our spirits, and we could.
You don't know what they do in the forest when you ain't looking.
Facts. Shoot, you talking? But no, but you know. So just keep your spirits up. Just do what you do, what you can, do what you need to. But just know it's not. It's not strange. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't have to, you know, carry that negative energy. Don't let that cloud be over you. Just know that it's something that's planetary. Do as much as you can to boost your spirit. Watch things that make you laugh. Hang out with people that make you feel good. Not like Gina. And just do everything to keep your vibes high. Keep the vibes high. So with that,
you know, I was gonna go look for that sweater.
Yeah.
And find a new one. You get nothing now. You get nothing.
Yes.
Live with your stain.
Thank you, Gina. That's love. That's love. I feel there was one more joke I had to tell you guys, yo. Anyways, I'm sure I'll come back later on in the show. So today on our Parlor with the People, we have we have this amazing guest. Her name is Sarah Jen. And I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the show. But she brought it up in her book. She's an author, and she writes children's books. So Queen Kai and I had this great conversation with her. And she is talking about equal representation. Is it equal or fair? That was fair representation. That was fair. It. Gina, do you know the difference between fair and equal? Because that was something I didn't know before, and I had asked her.
Well, equal is, there's a finite number to that, right? So mm-hmm. then you can calculate that.
Right.
Fair is there's no number associated to fair.
Okay. That's a very good example. The example she had given when I had asked her, and you guys are here, but it was really cool, because it was like, I didn't see it the same way, but I do now, where it's like, okay, if you have a family, that particular family has more children than another one. Let's say, so one family has three or five children, the other one has like one. And you're giving out 10 apples to each family. Now, the family that has the one child, they're in abundance. They have way more apples than they really need. The family that has like five children, it's a bit of a scarcity situation. So it's just understanding the difference between the two. But what is cool is that now within her books, everything that she's doing is educating people on these subtle things, on fair representation. Also, making sure that people are seeing each other, in like our children are seeing themselves in these books. Mm-hmm. So I love her vision. I love her mission. I love what she's about. Guys, please stay tuned. We're about to go into a break, and then we'll be back with Parley with the People with our exceptional guest, Sarah Jen.
Mixing it down. It's DJ K Quick.
Run, run, run. Run, run, run. I better run, run, run. Run, run, run. Run, run, run. I better run, run, run. But I never wanna see your face again. Don't wanna get caught in your spell. I'ma make you put me through living hell. Time and time again, when me see you not the party, get up, stand up and run the way you put it on me body. I'm me feel it all out, now you alone get me so naughty. You make me fall in love, me shoulda listen to me charge it. Run, run, run.
ding dong your phone. Just to get some of the good love where make me tremble and I'm on. Lose control if me get a scent where similar to your cologne. Want your butt, no need it, that's just how I feel. Oh, 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 we both know. You're not right for me, so I better you go. Yeah, I'm done, 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 done. Now wait till you settle down. Now I'm gonna make you lift your spell on me.
Things are get out of hand. You share your vision. Spread the word around. See what them gonna do? What the hell them gonna do? When me and my crew come down the old city down, because the bad boy them a mash up the town, and if the minute is another showdown, why boy, boy, why boy? Still a go on like devil. Parade the place and a burn stem pebble. Old people pot can bubble. I don't know bang them fi cool. Bang them pull down them too. Them still a go on like stiff naked fool. I make me devil write them like noon. But them a mash up the town. Every minute is another showdown. Why boy, boy. Why boy. But them a mash up the place, and man a get shot in the face. Why boy, oh, why boy? Hey, tell them for me, them put them bad legs on them. I clean them steel and I rinse them iron. Tell them make a ball of trying to from Zion with the cosmic power and the strength of a lion. Messenger they hear me and beg you no fi come. All who out there around the place warm. In the name of the Almighty.
Like this, we not play with love. A long time on a DJ in a dance. A long time on a chant in a dance. My company nice up this year, yeah. My company nice up Jamaica. My watch a Drake, dance off, sell off. Dance off the cup, liquor, sell off. Georgie wine, sell off. People really see it and have to laugh. Oh, Lord. Promoter and his eyes, you have to laugh. Oh, them laugh. Sha la 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 la. La 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 la. Born and grow in Jamaica. No matter where my born, me nah left ya. Me say me nah left Jamaica. Not a car. Me coulda never left Jamaica. In comes King Kabaka, lyrical champion. Watch me chop up the rhythm like a sword from Japan. So bright and for squint like a real Chinese man. Practitioner of yoga but not Indian. Lyrics them a weapon of mass destruction. Me up nuclear bomb like a American. Can't overstand like a Egyptian. I'm a glyphic when me ship it to the fifth dimension. Me chat it from the rhythm that a fit me religion. You get twist up and plot up like a Brazilian. Pile off your face with the mic in my hand. Then me sip a cup of tea like me come from England. A long time on a DJ in a dance. A long time on a chant in a dance. Me come for nice up the year, yeah. Me come for nice up Jamaica. But watch your check. Dance off the car. Dance on sell off. Liquor sell off. Georgie wine sell off. People really see it and have to laugh. Oh,
see your face, check what they're doing to this place. They're moving in so much haste, dwindling down the race. We can let some full display. Every minute, every hour, every day. Always look at what they do, never listen what they say. 9 minutes, 29 seconds, yeah. Time to see how them cook the book. Them bugs when I call them, brought us into sofa. Things I go get no better. They're making it hard.
listen what they say. Year after year they discuss it. Let me know that people are gonna get no justice. You can show you care. Keep that love in your heart. Trust no shadow after dark. Shadow after dark.
Mixing it down. It's DJ K Quick.
You are a mountain. You are a river. Out there is a jungle. Got to be stronger.
You can see a man's face, but never his heart. Trust no shadows after dark. No shadows after dark.
Show you care. Keep that love in your heart. Trust no shadow after dark. Shadow after dark.
And whatever the circumstance, pushing you to take a chance, you better follow your intuition, telling you to take a stand.
You can see the face, but not the heart of those who want to do you wrong. So many gone without a trace, gone without a sound.
You gotta believe and never let go, never let go. Ooh, because you can see a man's face, but you can't see his heart.
Trust no shadow after dark, no shadow after dark.
You can show you care, keep your love in your heart, but trust no shadow.
Parlay with the people. All right, and we are back, beautiful people. So as you guys know, this is Parlay with the People, where we like to take some time to introduce members of the community to you all. We're always blessed to have different entrepreneurs, different business owners, even heads of organizations, and just leaders of the community who just want to share empowering words and to just, you know, share their life experience and what's going on in their world with you all as listeners. We're super blessed this morning to have a sister. Her name is Sarah Jen. She's new to the OFC. We're glad to have her. She is an author. And this is your first book, right, sister?
Yes, it is. It's my first book.
Amazing. It's the first of many, because she, and what's really exciting about her is that this is way beyond just a book. She's way more than just an author. She has a story. She has a vision. She has a mission. And I'm glad to have her on. So Grand Rising Sister, and thank you for being on with, thanks for being on the Empower Hour and for joining us for the Parley with the People segment.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So before we dive into the business, let's take a moment just to get to know you.
So. Oh, well, my name is Sarah Jen Bartley. I am married. I have a newborn. Well, he's almost one. His name is Isaiah. He's one of the reasons why I became an author. I was raised in Haiti and in Canada. Mm-hmm. So I love both cultures. They help me be who I am today. I went to Concordia. I studied in administration and supply chain management, which has nothing to do with writing a book. as I was pregnant, I just felt the urge of publishing A Plum's Tale, which was a story that, you know, I was thinking about seeing the twins. Actually, Maya and Nayu do exist. They are the characters of my book. Uh-huh. They are one of my good friends, the others. They are twins. Cool. Yes, they are twins, and being around them has, you know, has helped me realize that we really needed more children's book that were diverse. It was a struggle. I remember when looking for books for them, it was not easy. We would find some books, we felt like there was not enough content in the book. It was not easy, especially for us growing up. We had books, but we had books with characters that did not look like us. So, yeah, exactly. Of course, we knew about children's book. We read a lot of them, but when you know, with Maya and Nayu, when I remember when Gigi wanted to buy them books, and we were talking about it, and we're like, oh my God, this is not funny. It is just sad that we can't really know. We don't really know which other. We don't really know which books to buy them. So we just went and kind of went for, you know, a lot of different books.
Yeah, whatever you could get, basically.
Yes, whatever we could get. And, you know, we just felt like a lot of them lacked content. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, slowly I started thinking about a little story that would amuse the girls. Mm-hmm. And it took a little time, mm-hmm, for me to make it happen. And then, you know, when I got pregnant with Isaiah, I was like, no, it has to happen. Mm-hmm. I need to make it happen. I started reading a little bit more about diversity in children's book, realizing that, you know, I think I read somewhere that 83% of the children's book that were written were about Caucasians. They were about things. They were about animals. And I was like, oh, but the world is a lot more diverse than that. It should be fairly represented. Mm-hmm. You know, it should. I remember growing up looking at mainstream media, looking at movies and everything. I, of course, you know, being from Haiti, I'm a Black person. And of course I was represented. I could see Black people on the screen, but was I really fairly represented? When I was looking at the history of the characters, I mean, that wasn't like my dad. It wasn't like my uncle, and I wasn't like the girl. There was a lot of things that I felt like, okay, why are all the stories the same? I don't understand. Like, do they lack imagination or something? Is it, why does it have to be that way? And, you know, that's when I started realizing, you know, it's not only just a book. It has to be about diversity. It has to, you know, it has to make us feel represented, you know, even as kids, right? I went to my sister-in-law like last week because it was her birthday, and my niece she's turning three in next month, actually. She's turning three in exactly 1 month. Mm-hmm. And she had this big afro, and I was going through the book with her, and she looked at Mommy Gigi, because Mommy Gigi has an afro in the book. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me, and she mostly speak French, and she was like, look, Tati, come ça, come moi, come ça, that's it, come ça, afro. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, oh, she has the same hair as me. And mm-hmm, it just hit us, like, yeah, oh, my God. Like,
that's exactly what you wanted to do.
You know, just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I felt like, you know what, I was not represented as a kid, but that was me feeling it, and that is me still feeling it as a grown up. But seeing my little niece reacting to Mommy Gigi's hair, and she was like, Mommy Gigi, and, you know, they're the twins, the character, you know, it's about the twins not wanting to eat their plums. Mm-hmm. But in the whole book, she talked about Mommy Gigi for the rest of the weekend. Okay. it was all about Mommy Gigi. It was all about her hair. It was Yes. So it is something that is really dear to me. I want to use my voice. Through my books, I would say, to just so that people can understand how important it is to feel represented, especially for the kids, for our mini humans. Mm-hmm. It's important for them to be validated. Yeah. It's important for them to feel like, you know, they are seen, they are heard. And being able to see someone that share your features it in a story, right?
We take it for granted. We really do take it for granted, and it's a subtle thing, but it has a world of it has a huge impact. And you just said it, like just your little niece seeing the or your friend's child seeing herself in that book.
Yes,
that was enough to stick with her, and she spoke about it for the weekend. But that like how you speak about it now as an adult, not seeing yourself as a child in books, is the same way she'll now be able to tell a different story in the future.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what? I usually ask this question to my friends. I'm like, I sincerely wonder who I would be today if there were more little Black girls in mainstream media while I was growing up. Mm. Because I would have been impacted by it. There's no way that I wouldn't be impacted by it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, it is important that parents understand that diversity in everything. Mm-hmm. But since I'm writing children's book, right? But diversity in children's book is very, very important.
Yeah, I agree. So now, and I love this, and thank you for that, and thank you. That was a perfect introduction of yourself, because we hear your passion and we hear why you're doing it, and we did start to dab a little bit about the company and what it's about, and because I've been privileged to have a couple of conversations with you, I know you have a mission and you have a vision. And so, like, if we could talk a little bit about just the vision of the mm-hmm. not just the book, but what you want to do with the whole series that you want to be able to that you will be coming out with.
Yes. So it is a series of a collection, because I've already I already have a couple of books of that collection that I'm already done, and I'm still writing the rest of the books. I really want fair representation. So when I talk about fair representation, of course, the first book is with Black characters, of course. But even then, with my characters, with the twins, it was important to me that the twins, yes, they share the same features, but they didn't have the same skin tone. Mm. It was important to me, because it does happen that in a Black family, for example, that we share different skin tones. 100%. And it was important that it shows in the book. And I am talking about diversity because there are different, well, if I could say, types of Black people, because, you know, we're all mixed. We have all African descendants. I have personally cousins that are half Haitian and half German, half Haitian and half American, you know, half Haitian and half French. You know, we're so diverse, and it is important that my little cousins that are African descendants, but also German descendants, that they do feel like they are represented as well. Mm-hmm. Because we are talking about fair representation, because they are, as well as they are German descendant, but they are African descendants as well. So when we talk about, when I talk about diversity, I am talking about, you know, the fact that we are all diverse. We have, I don't want to give clues about the books, but but there is a diversity. For example, I know that there aren't many books, for example, you know, there aren't many books about children in wheelchairs, but they are children as well. they need to be able to see.
And you know? sorry for cutting you, because there's I for those who might not know, and I'll be the guy right now. Can you explain what is the difference between fair representation and equal representation?
The best way for me to explain it, let's say for example we have four different families, okay. Mm-hmm. A family with three different families, a family with two family members, a family with four family members, and a family with five family members, let's say, for example. So I have 10 apples, right? If I give 10 apples to the family with two family members, I mean, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But is it really fair to the family with the most family members? I mean, it is equal because it is 10 apples that you're giving to everyone, but is it really fair?
Okay.
You know, to the amount of people in each family. So this is what I want to promote. Of course, we want equality, but it is important to remain fair in everything that we do. So this is what I mean by fair representation. And also in fair representation, we talk also about positive representation, right? Mm-hmm. Because of course, I feel like all races or most races, if we can say races, because I mostly go with ethnicities, mm-hmm. Are represented in mainstream media, for example, but are they fairly represented? I mm-hmm. doubt it.
I get it. So it's just and I think the example that you gave was perfect. Like, so it's like it's equal, but it's not necessarily fair, right? And so fair is where it makes sense for the example you gave was perfect. For the amount of people in your household, for it to be fair, it's not fair for you guys with just two people to have 10 apples, where the family that has mm-hmm. six people gets the same 10 apples, because then it's
exactly
it's not a fair split. And so in our case, we are what we want for the culture in general mm-hmm. is fair representation for everybody. So everybody needs to get their visibility as they're entitled to it.
Yes.
I love the approach also. I love that that you're planting the seed early. And I was listening to you at the very beginning, and I turned my camera off for a second because I felt like I was gonna actually be emotional. I'm like, my gosh, I was like, this is very real right now. So I got on the plane, and on the way off, the whole time I listened to the pilot talk. And when we got ready to get off the plane, I got ready to pass past the cockpit, and the pilots were Black. And I was stuck. Yes. I stopped, held up the line. I got out the line. I pushed my bag to the back. I stood back for a second. I was taken aback. So now the people are looking at me like, no, you got to get off. I'm going, but you got to give me 2 seconds, because I thought myself in the cockpit. You got to wait. Y'all got to wait.
And let me enjoy this.
When I got to my destination, I told four children, whatever you want to be in life, you could be. You know, on the way here, that my pilot was Black. He looked like you. And so that means something. So I got to see something. Mm-hmm. I spread the seed. You recognized something in the people and what the people needed. You planted the seed and you started it in the children. So when the children come up and they get in the house with their parents and they see some injustice, they're going to say, hey, listen, I read in this book one time that's not how y'all supposed to do it. Ask my friend, didn't the teacher read us that? Come here, look, tell them. And this is where it matters. That's where it matters. Because the kids run the house. They dictate what's really bought in the house, what type of toys, what type of foods. Mm-hmm. What you did was you start planting seeds early, sister. And that is beautiful. I'm definitely making sure my niece and all the kids around me get your books, because that right there is a bunch of freedom fighters. You know what you did. You seen injustice in front of you and you figured, I know how to break this down.
Yes, because, you know, I have to tell you too that this was boiling inside of me, because as I said, I was born and raised in Haiti, but I knew I was Black. I mean, Haiti, there's different shades anyway. But when I got to Montreal, unfortunately, I understood that I was Black. And with my boy being a Canadian, but he's a Black Canadian, right? And I'm like, you know what? If I could get this book in kindergartens, if I could get this book in primary schools, because this is not only about African descendants children, but it is also about everyone's child, because if they are exposed to diversity, and the book is relatable, right? It is a story about kids not wanting to eat something. Which household with a kid doesn't go through that? So if they see that, oh, well, they have a different skin tone, but they go through the same things. I mean, you know, so we should be the same. So without them having those exact words, but this is the mindset that everyone will be growing up with. And this is what I want. This is truly what I wish for everyone, especially for my kid, you know, a world.
If I could just interject something else that I saw that you did, I don't know if you consciously did it, but when I was reading, I said, oh, and these kids tell lies. I said, because they lie. So they took the food, they hid it, they took it and put it in the compost. But it fell on the floor, Mom. That's why we put it. If you fell on the floor, why you didn't wash it off? I was saying all this to myself in my mind. So I'm like, oh, no. See, so you one, the children tell a fib. So they're going to say, oh, they lie.
Yes.
And oh, they got caught telling the lie because their mother found out. And then they told the truth. And something that's a little bit different from what would be in traditional Caribbean homes. They didn't get in trouble. The mama was like, okay, made a compromise. If you eat the plum, then I'll add more strawberries next time. But eat the plums. Eat the food. And don't not eat your lunch. I was a kid that put my lunch in my pockets. And when time came, the closet would stink. My grandmother would say, what is going on? It would be all kinds of sandwiches and oranges in my pockets and stuff that I wouldn't eat for lunch. So when she said, and she went and found it and then said, no, y'all eat food.
Well, you hit a nerve there too. Mm-hmm. You hit a nerve because that's what I wanted for this book as well. You know, as a first book, the little moral to it, it's not only for children. The little moral to it, it's like, you know, as the kid grows up, the children reading this book understand, okay, if I tell a lie, okay, I can tell the truth because I didn't get in trouble. Actually, Mom made a deal with me. Mm-hmm. So I can tell the truth. But also for us parents, you know, they lied, and you could see the patience that Mami Gigi had in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's a short book, right? Yeah. But you could see how patient she was with them. Oh, you're lying. Okay, we're gonna see where you're gonna go with this. But when the girl got caught in the lie, Mami Gigi gave them the opportunity to feel safe, an environment for them to come clean. And you know, as you said, this is different from our Caribbean culture. Well, from my Caribbean culture, it is very different of how it was done. But being, I don't like to say product, but you know, it's the easiest way to put it. Being a product of a household, you know, when you lie, you get whooped. You know, they're not messing with you. They're not playing with you. And being a product of that, I know that I want to do better for my children. I want to do better. I want to be able, because if I want the world to acknowledge them because they are different, for example, I'm talking about diverse, they are different from the majority of the characters of the books. Well, I need to acknowledge my kid as well, because if I do not acknowledge my kid, how do I expect someone else to acknowledge him? So this is, you know, it is just a simple book, but it passes a lot of stuff that, you know, that are really important to me
I find what you're hitting there is necessary, especially in the times that we're in, because as a parent myself, and I my children go through like different generations. So my oldest is 15, and then my other one after that, actually I have 18, 15, 12, and 5, and I realized how I dealt with all of them is completely different. Mm-hmm. And now, but it's not just how I dealt with them, it's almost like how they're dealing with me. Like I'm realizing mm-hmm. that the generations, the way they think is completely different. So the way we used to do things then and now mm-hmm. is different, and we need different approaches, different tools, different ways, because just the disciplinary approach. Don't ask me why, but these little children, like you would want to give a child a spanking, and after that, they want to talk to you. They're like, okay, so you gave me a spanking, I understand, but isn't there a better way to go about this? And they're bringing these talks where you're like, where are you getting this dialogue from? Like, in my youth, I would have never ever thought of having these conversations. But it's like, and it's definitely not just isolated to me, because I speak to my siblings who have little children, all my friends who have little children. It's like, yo, we all know what is happening with these 0 to 5. Like,
it's on you.
It's a different read.
When you put them on kids' YouTube, they got these little commercials here, and a lot of people set the setting and be like, well, it's all kids' stuff, and just let them go. But some of the insert commercials say, you know, they'll have two kids and they'll say, you know, if someone hits you, you can always say, you could do better than that. You're a big think. And well, I walked past the room one day and my the doorway like, how dare you?
Yeah, that's what's happening. You see? Yeah, it's giving it from, we're getting it from all angles. But we need to be equipped, because if that's the case, then society, the world is being raised differently. The youths are coming up differently. Yes. We need different approaches. You know,
you know, and there's also something that that I did tell someone, an elderly in my family, because Isaiah is 10 months old, but I never grab him without his consent. And so I would
just to clarify, when you say you don't grab him, you mean like you don't just lift him up, you don't just take him?
I don't take him.
Really?
No, I don't take him without his consent. So he would be in someone else's arms, and I always go to him, do you want to come with mommy? And if he goes back to the person, I'll be like, okay, next time I'll get you. If I have to take him, I'm like, oh, buddy, I have to take you now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just teaching him consent. And there was an elderly next to me, one elderly in the family, and she was like, oh, you're doing too much. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean I'm doing too much? And she said, he's 10 months old. You're doing too much. Just take the kid. Don't you see that you're wasting time? And I'm like, I don't agree with your point of view. I understand where you come from. However, you know, teaching him the basics while he's 10 months old guarantees that when I'm 80 years old and I can't walk fast, he's not going to get mad at me. He's not going to snap. You know, he's just going to respect me as well. And that is what I'm teaching him, respect. And when I did say that, and well, it was an elderly Haitian, so let's say that.
So she's like, whatever.
But you could see that she was like, okay, you're from another world. You're from another world. And I'm like, no, it's still the same world. It's just that I'm adapting because of how I was raised and how I want to raise my kid. I just realized that there's some stuff I'm keeping, there's some stuff that I'm leaving. And I'm leaving, you know, this part out.
Okay. I respect that. I respect that, and I totally understand it. You know, in the defense of the elder, I know, like we have to find a middle ground, because I've seen some crazy things where, like, I've seen little children going to hit their parents, and their parents are like, "Look, okay," and I'm like, "Okay, now see that you need to nip that." Because that child is clearly dominant. And he's like, look, and that child will grow to be like, nah, you can't talk to me in any kind of way. I will hit you. Like, so you got to find that middle ground.
Yes, you have. Yeah. It's not easy. Yeah. Because I see it. I see it with that. Because that's what I'm telling you. Everything starts with them being young. Mm-hmm. Because I see the difference with Isaiah, with me and his dad. Because his dad even if, you know, I ask, you know, I'm like, I always ask for consent. Mm-hmm. Well, his dad is like, oh, hey, come to dada, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you can see that the dad is so much more permissive than I am, for right. example. But his dad is like, it's a little toy, okay. right? Mm-hmm. But even though, because I realized that I do get judged sometimes, you know, in the Haitian community, because they, you know, because when they see me, react well, behaving with them, they feel like, okay, no. And I'm like, well, they're like, oh, well, he's not gonna respect you. He's gonna, and I'm like, actually, he plays more with his dad than he plays with me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have that approach, and his dad as well. Well, he has this approach as well, but you know, mm-hmm. there's some stuff that he's like, oh, no, I'm not gonna spend 5 minutes asking him if he wants to come to me, right? But even though, like, we still, you know, he still fears me a little bit more, if I could say fear.
Yeah. Respect. That, he you has know, a respect I'm a restrictor.
Yeah, yes. Yes, he respects us both, but you could see that he's like, huh, am I gonna, that's mommy, huh? You could see that in the 10 months old eye, like, huh, that's mommy, I can do that.
Yeah.
He knows okay. what he can do, and he's 10 months old. And this right. is, this is also proving, you know, that, you know, teach them young.
You're activating the cognitive part of his brain. So now you're thinking, do I want to? No, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. I understand that completely. I had a woman express to me, she had her son was highly autistic. And because of the routine thing that the doctors say, oh, they have this certain routine, you have to always keep this routine. She mm-hmm. said that every day she switched everything around in her house. And he would say, well, how did you do that? She said, well, is there something wrong with that? He said, but you know I have to eat at 12:30. And she's like, but are you hungry? And he's like, no, I'm not hungry. She's like, then why do we have to eat every day at 12:30?
Yeah, at 12:30.
Now he's like, oh my gosh. So all of the tics that he does, if she repeats it back to him, now he stops doing it. But in his mind, he's thinking about it now. Oh my gosh, why do I have to eat every day at 12:30? Sometimes I'm hungry. What's wrong?
Yeah.
But it's activating the cognitive. So when you say to him, do you want, is forming him to now question, do I want to go?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to stay here with Auntie and you can come back.
That's it. Yes. I love it. And I love what you're doing. And this has been an awesome, awesome conversation. I just looked at the time. I was like, oh, okay, wait, we gotta move on. Cause now, so we need to hit a call to action. So what do we want the people to do? Because I know like the book is new, it's just out. So one, how can people get access to the book? Where do they get access to the book? What do we want from the community right now?
Well, you can access the book on my website, SaraJenBarclayPelissier.com. So, but SaraJenBarclayPelissier.com.
Nice. I will share it on our pages as well, so everybody can see it too. Good.
And if you write a Plumstel, the book's title is A Plumstel. If you write a Plumstel, it will pop up as well on Google search.
Okay.
And it will direct the person to the publisher's company website, because this is where the book is being sold, but you can also access the link to my webpage.
Amazing. And so basically, like, this is, I want to put a call out to parents, teachers, daycare owners, people who out there who have children or access to children, because again, what we're doing is we want to plant these seeds young and give them opportunities yes. to grow in the lives of these children and to give them that opportunity to see themselves properly represented. And I love the fact that, again, you're not just speaking to the children, but you're also there's a little something in there for us as well as adults.
Yes,
you know,
we all can learn.
Yeah,
and also, I'm sorry, also on my website, again, SaraJenBarclayPelissier.com, I also have a blog part, mm-hmm. right? So I will be interacting there as well. So once per month, I post a blog, you know, a subject that we could all come and interact and talk, you know, build a community. This is what we want, a community for our children so that we could exchange idea on the different matters of representation. And I can't wait to see you all.
That's amazing. This is huge. I'm going to invite you. Within the OFC, we have a homeschooling group as well. We have a lot of parents in there that I'm sure could benefit from this material and from the and just from the interaction and engagement with you. I think that is huge. So Kaya, before we wrap up, did you have any words you want to any final things for Sarah Jen?
I just want to say thank you and keep doing your thing, sister. I know the impact that the book is going to have, because I know what happened when I read, and it was such a quick read, but it was so beautiful. So I just want to say thank you for just being you and not being afraid to reach out and do this.
And do something a little different than the norm, because you're already experiencing it, because you're doing something a little different. Anytime you do something different, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get those who aren't comfortable with change. You're going to come and tell you, yo, you're changing stuff. I don't like it.
Yes.
So I commend you. I commend you for that. I send blessings on you and your family and your life. Strength, because you might need it sometimes. You know, some of these elders, they can be pretty tough sometimes. So definitely I want to just continue to encourage you. So now, but before we let you go, you know, I like to put our guests on the spot. So this is the Empower Hour. So what kind of empowering words would you like to leave with our listeners today?
You know, because again, my main target are children, of course, through parents, but they are children. I don't remember where I heard this quote, but I would say that if I am to leave with a message, with an empowering message, I would definitely use that one. I think it said when you give children the tools that are needed, you know, the necessary tools to change their destiny. Mm. It's really empowering.
Mm-hmm.